Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Thursday, September the 21st, 2023. I'm Jonga Kandemiri. Tonight we are talking about the United Nations General Assembly currently underway in New York here in America, with Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa delivering his remarks earlier today. Mnangagwa talked about the elections held in August that his party won. He called for Western countries to remove the sanctions that have been hurting his country for the past 23 years. The Zimbabwe leader told the General Assembly that his country's economy was growing well for the betterment of Zimbabwean citizens.
Excellencies, Zimbabwe continues to entrench democracy, constitutionalism, good governance, and the rule of law following the recently held 2023 harmonized general elections. I am pleased to highlight that our country enjoyed peace before, during, and after our free, fair, transparent, and credible elections. Zimbabwe has been under the illegal unilateral economic sanctions for 23 years, imposed by some Western countries. These sanctions were designed to subjugate the sovereign will of the Zimbabwean people. We therefore demand that the unjustified unilateral sanctions be unconditionally lifted, including those imposed on countries like Cuba.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa talking about sanctions that he said are hurting his country. And he talked about the economy that was growing well for the betterment of Zimbabwean citizens.
We are recording unprecedented development and economic success milestones. For the last 3 years, our country has been the fastest growing economy in our Southern Africa region. Further, Zimbabwe is prioritizing the eradication of poverty and improving the quality of life of our people, particularly those in rural areas. The empowerment and the capacitation of communal and small-scale farmers has seen us realize food and nutrition security at both household and national level. With effect from this year, our country will become a net exporter of wheat.
Mnangagwa took a swipe at the global funding institutions and said there was need to reform global financial institutions so as to unlock funding for developing countries.
Mr. President, the need to reform global financial institutions is of essence to unlock funding for developing countries. The current exclusionary architecture, dominated by a few states, is failing to deliver the requisite resources for countries to finance their developmental priorities and other pressing health and environmental challenges. The shortcomings in the last round of SDR allocations should be addressed. Zimbabwe supports the stimulus package proposed by the United Nations Secretary General. We further call for the long-term concessional loans, increased access to unused special drawing rights, as well as the use of modalities such as debt cancellation and restructuring as a stimulus for developing countries to grow their economies and build greater resilience.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking at the United Nations General Assembly in New York. During Wednesday's meeting of the United Nations Security Council, Russia's war in Ukraine took precedence in the speeches of world leaders who have been pulled into the conflict in different capacities. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias took note of what was said and filed this report from New York.
Despite Russia voicing its strong opposition and in compliance with the organization's rules, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was the first leader to address the United Nations Security Council's meeting Wednesday. He didn't just condemn Moscow's invasion of his country, but also the Council's veto system that, in his view, enables it, and called for reforms.
If it is impossible to stop the war because all efforts are vetoed by the aggressor or those who condone the aggressor, there is a need for a system to prevent aggression through early response to actions violating territorial integrity and sovereignty of states.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov defended his country's military operations and turned the criticism on those supporting Ukraine.
The collective West, led by the United States, arbitrarily assumed the rank of arbiter of the destinies of all mankind and, overwhelmed by a complex of exclusivity, began to increasingly ignore the legacy of the founding fathers.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken decried Russia's belligerence as a clear violation of the U.N. Charter.
Some argue that continuing to stand with Ukraine and holding Russia accountable distracts us from addressing other priorities, like confronting the climate crisis, expanding economic opportunity, strengthening health systems. That is a false choice. We can and we must do both. We are doing both.
China opted to highlight its mediation efforts.
The core message is facilitating talks for peace.
After underlining his organization's commitment to the sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity of Ukraine, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for restraint.
This war is already causing limitless suffering. Its continuation risks further perilous escalation. There is never an alternative to dialogue, diplomacy, and a just peace.
Guterres added the United Nations will continue working toward a peaceful resolution to the conflict in line with the UN Charter, international law, and the resolutions of the General Assembly. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, the United Nations.
Our reporter, Marvelous Msangayawiye, is in New York at the UNGA meeting. She's covering the meeting for Studio 7. Marvelous, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm actually in the media center, so you might be seeing some other journalists from other countries passing by or just generally getting into the shot.
Marvelous, can you tell us what is happening at the meeting today?
At the meeting today, we saw the president, as you said, and the videos that we're playing, talking about how other countries should leave Zimbabwe as a sovereign state and also calling for the removal of sanctions. But earlier on, I had the opportunity to interview the finance minister, Mr. Mthuli Ncube, who was echoing the same sentiments as the president when he talked about the economy, with Mr. Ncube saying that they're doing the best that they can to make sure that the economy gets on track.
Yes, talking about the economy, we heard that President Mnangagwa talked about inviting those who want to come to Zimbabwe to invest in Zimbabwe. What did Minister Mthuli say about that too?
He didn't really mention much about inviting investors to Zimbabwe, but we had another Zimbabwean who's also ZANU-PF, Mr. Philip Chabata, who was saying they are actually on a mission here to invite investors to come to Zimbabwe. So they were here at the UNGA, and then now they say they are in Washington, D.C., where they're hoping to be signing some contracts or some big projects with some investors over there. But I did ask Mr. Ncube about the issue of sanctions, and he said that, yes, they are hurting the people, and they were very happy with what the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, did by calling the West to drop the sanctions that they say are on Zimbabwe, although the Americans and other Western states say they are targeted sanctions.
We've seen in previous years, Marvelous, Zimbabweans and other concerned organizations demonstrating at the UNGA meeting. Is there anything like that happening there currently?
I saw a handful of December 12th movement, which is really a support group that supports the Zimbabwean president, you know, getting back to when Mugabe was the president of Zimbabwe. They've been coming. We saw larger numbers then because they say they are Pan-Africanist and they support what the ZANU-PF government is doing. So on this instance today, I saw just a handful of them, but they refused to give an interview, although there was a gentleman who called himself Farai, but he definitely was not from Zimbabwe. But they were saying they were happy. They wanted to welcome the president and also to congratulate him, you know, on his recent win. But they didn't want to go public.
What about the opposition? Because we have also seen in previous years opposition members demonstrating there.
The opposition, from what we're gathering from our sources, should be here at the UN on Saturday. Although, you know, by that time, President Mnangagwa would have finished all his speeches, they are saying that they want the world attention on Zimbabwe, whether the president will be around or not. So we are looking forward to seeing them on Saturday and hearing what message they have, because I did ask, I also had the opportunity to speak to the foreign minister, Mr. Frederick Chava, and I asked him that, you know, there is the opposition which is saying that the elections were rigged and there is a need for a fresh election. And he said, according to them, they are already in power. They are going to be ruling for the next 5 years and the next election will be in 2028.
Mm-hmm. Is President Mnangagwa expected to attend any of the side meetings there?
I understand that he has an investors meeting tomorrow, but I don't have much details right now. But I'll be keeping tabs to see who exactly are the investors and to see if I can get an invitation to go and be able to be part of that meeting.
Mm. Thank you, Marvelous. Let's take a short break. Stay tuned.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those just joining us, this is Live Talk coming to you from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. Tonight, we are talking about the United Nations General Assembly currently underway in New York. We are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. To discuss what is going on at UNGA, we are joined by Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, Mr. David Siampondo, who is based here in the USA, and ZANU-PF member Frank Guni, also based here in the USA. And we also have independent analyst Chennai Mutambasere, based in Britain. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Yes, thank you so much. Can I hear the other voices? We've lost Mr. Siampondo. Let's try to reconnect him. But Mr. Mtambasere, how are you?
Me, good evening to your audience.
Thank you so much. Let me start with you, Ms. Mtambasere. We heard what President Mnangagwa said when he addressed the United Nations General Assembly. That's the 78th session in New York. What's your take from what he said?
I mean, on my first reaction is it's hugely embarrassing when the world in different parts, you know, whether it's in Africa, through the African Union, the Southern African Development Committee, the Commonwealth, the EU, the Carter Center, have observed what happened on the 23rd and the 24th of August, you know, to go out there and pretend that all is well and to sell that position, I mean, is beyond embarrassing, to say the least. It's very unfortunate that as a nation, we find ourselves in that situation, that as a nation, we are once again being represented by somebody whom we haven't really given that endorsement. And kind of this unrepentant attitude is costing us as a country. It's costing us economically in terms of our economic engagement, whether it's in the region, whether it's global engagement. And, of course, even local engagement, you have to look at what's happening with the inflation figures. Again, we are now at the worst in the country. We are also the worst country in terms of our risk profile, you know, because of what happened during the election, but also what is now happening post-election, you know. So it's such an embarrassment. And, you know, I don't know what kind of, what level of, theatrics you have to graduate in to be able to pull such a performance off.
Let's hear from Mr. Guni. Mr. Guni, you heard what Ms. Mtambasere just said about the speech presented by President Emmerson Mnangagwa at the UNGA in New York.
Well, I thought I heard that Ms. Mtambasere is an independent analyst. Well, from her comments, there sounds like there's nothing independent or analytical at all. It seems like she's speaking on behalf of the opposition, but nonetheless, she's free to do so as a Zimbabwean. Going back to the speech by the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, Comrade Emmerson Mnangagwa, I think he did mention key points that are crucial, that Zimbabwe is now food is able to sustain itself in terms of production of wheat, and for the first time in a very long time, we'll be able to export wheat. Yes, he did acknowledge that Zimbabwean elections were free and they were fair. Yes, we do accept that observer missions that were present during, before, during, and after the elections did indicate that there were some challenges, just like in any other election in any country. And we do accept that those challenges did indeed happen, but they were not significant enough to change the outcome of the election. I think people need to be told the truth, and people need to understand that. In any election, there will always be challenges. But the question is, were those challenges significant enough to alter or to hinder the proper outcome of elections as expected? Mm-hmm. Now, going back to what she said, she insinuated that President Mnangagwa was not elected by Zimbabwe. Well, she does not have that authority. That's an opinion. The fact is, in Zimbabwe, the only authoritative body that can proclaim the winner of any election is the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, and they did proclaim President Mnangagwa. If anyone is disputing that outcome, they have a right to go to the courts and seek redress there, mm-hmm. but not to come on social media or to come on public media and misrepresent facts.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line. Ms. Mtambasere, I know you are itching to respond to what Mr. Guni just said.
It's very interesting, Mr. Guni, to start his presentation by attacking my viewpoints. So here's what it is. To your viewers, in terms of this idea that Zimbabwe, we did meet our wheat production requirements, indeed this is true. But what happened since is actually that the Grain Marketing Board has not been able to afford to pay the farmers for the wheat. So we met the production requirements, but our granaries do not have
that wheat, and we haven't yet started exporting it because they've not been able to purchase them from the farmers. The wheat farmers, as we speak, have not been paid for that output. When you look at our maize output, Zimbabwe currently has only produced a quarter of what is required, right? So when I'm telling you that for somebody to stand up in front of a whole UN General Assembly to make that claim and insinuate that things are going okay in Zimbabwe is beyond ludicrous. Zimbabwe currently has been put on the hunger watch list on the back of the anticipated El Nino climate change that is to come. Because this is the situation we are in, right?
Yes.
So when I speak about this, I do speak from a position of privilege and authority of having the knowledge of what is happening on the ground. Secondly, when it comes to elections, I don't know if Mr. Guni himself was there on the 23rd and the 24th of August, like I was. And you don't need more than half a brain to know that this was a sham election. You don't wait for more than 24 hours to cast your vote in 2023. Yeah? And not only that, this position was resoundingly again represented by the SADC, the AU, the Commonwealth, the Carter Center. So what I'm saying to you now is not a matter of personal opinion. It is a public fact.
Mm-hmm.
So if we need to have, we need to establish the facts and move forward in conversation to say, this is where Zimbabwe is at.
Thank you.
The idea that there was a proclamation by ZEC, ZEC themselves, on the day of the proclamation, they published the results and they took them down within an hour. The results were not even adding up, right? So in so far as my privilege, one, as a citizen, two, as someone with half a brain, three, as a development economist, is to say that Mr. Mnangagwa really needs to think about national interest because there are a lot of at risk of starvation in Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much. Let's go to the next chapter. Mr. Guni, we heard the President of South Africa, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, saying that SADC is very soon going to convene a meeting to discuss Zimbabwe elections. What's your position on this?
Well, let me clarify for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
President Ramaphosa did not say that the SADC is going to very soon convene a meeting on Zimbabwe. President Ramaphosa confirmed the standards and the protocols that are followed by SADC. First and foremost, he did mention that the preliminary report by the SADC Observer Mission is indeed that. It was a preliminary report. It did indicate that there were some challenges that were observed during the elections. But then he reiterated the fact that the full report, the final report, will have to be presented before SADC. And once SADC receives the full report, it will then have an opportunity to bring on board the observer mission to summarize their findings and also give Zimbabwe an opportunity, just like any election, every nation under observation will have the right to reply, the right to respond. Only then will SADC come up with a final resolution or position. And he did clarify that as he has read the preliminary report of the SADC observer mission, just like all the other ones, it does not say the elections were unfair. It does not say the elections were invalid. It does not say any of those things. So there is no emergency meeting, for example, happening. The meeting that's going to happen is the standard SADC protocol. Always after any election observer mission, the preliminary report and the final report will be presented to the Committee of Ministers. They will then look at it, they would digest it, and then it will be presented at the next SADC Heads of State Summit, which will be in Zimbabwe next year.
Yes. But Mr. Guni, if there was no crisis, why would SADC talk of a meeting? Because if you say there are challenges, those challenges should be ironed out.
No, every election has challenges. The point is, in any election, there are challenges. The purpose of the observer mission for SADC is to look at whether or not the electoral process and the participation in the election was done in accordance to the SADC guidelines, principles, and protocols, and also in accordance to the laws governing the independent sovereign member state of SADC. Mm-hmm. And if there were issues that were observed as shortcomings, then SADC does prefer recommendations. Those recommendations will be taken into consideration by the member state responsible for in order to improve the next election. There is this notion that we keep on hearing, especially from the opposition, saying, well, there will be a rerun. Well, let's not give people false hope. Let us be clear. There won't be any rerun. The elections are done with. And in any case, even if SADC or anybody else thought that, well, we need a rerun in Zimbabwe, the only way we could have a rerun in Zimbabwe is if someone went to the courts and the Zimbabwean courts would have invalidated the election result, then cause for an election rerun. Mm-hmm. Other than that, everything else is just a political banter.
Let's hear from Ms. Mtambasera about this issue. Ms. Mtambasera.
So one thing I want to specifically highlight about what President Ramaphosa said with regard to the report, he was clear to say that, in his opinion, and that's very important, yeah? He said, when I've read the report, in my opinion, and then he went on to comment, yeah? This does not represent any form of consensus insofar as SADC is positioned. Will there be a follow-up meeting? Absolutely, yes. Call it what you may. There is purpose to these things. It's not a tick box exercise such as the one Mr. Guni is implying, that this is just part of what we do. There's a specific purpose meeting for discussing the issue of Zimbabwe and in line with SADC due process. And there is a purpose to having those types of meetings. There is a purpose for those kinds of reports being drawn up and written. Mm-hmm. And there will be an outcome at the end of that purpose.
Yes, our time is running out, and we are running out of time. If I may just ask you a question, Ms. Mtambasere, is there a need for SADC to first wait for the full report or the final report, or it can take action now if it sees that there is something that did not go as per guidelines?
So I would like to say that everything has to happen within the remit of SADC due processes, which unfortunately currently I can't speak from a position of privilege in terms of those due processes. Mm-hmm. So we anticipate that the due process will be followed, and the due process should follow an election such as what has happened in Zimbabwe. I believe there's a new this is a precedent situation.
Thank you.
This is not something, there's not necessarily a template that we can relate to in the most recent, let's say, 5-10 years.
Thank you so much.
Having happened elsewhere.
Thank you. Let me throw a last question to Mr. Guni. We heard President Mnangagwa saying that there is peace in the country, but opposition members and some human rights activists are crying foul.
Well, yes, indeed. There is peace in Zimbabwe. There was peace before the elections, there was peace during the elections, and there's peace after elections. Here and there, we hear acts of personal conflicts and the potential, you know, conflict between political activists. But in any case, anyone who commits a crime will have to be investigated or arrested depending on the outcome of investigations, whether they are opposition or not. We cannot stop the police from arresting individuals who commit crime just because they are opposition. And as we speak today,
thank you.
We have ZANU-PF individuals who are in court today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Guni. Ah, well, that brings us to the end of our show. We'd like to thank our guests, Ms. Chennai Mtambasere, an independent development economist in the UK, and Mr. Frank Guni of ZANU-PF, who is based in Washington, D.C. We also had briefly Mr. David Siampondo of CCC, who is based in North Dakota, but we lost him along the way. And thank you so much for your listening and viewing at home. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. I am Jonga Kandemiri. Good night, Zimbabwe.